Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we're going to talk about the first mercy killing, in quotes, mercy killing of a child in Belgium. And that's already happened in Colorado, of course, by the authority of Denver's Children's Hospital. And then also George H.W. Bush to vote for Hillary Clinton. No surprise there. The Bush family, they are Democrats at heart, always have been. And that Minnesota Muslim terrorist shouts Allah while running around a mall stabbing his victims. And he asks one, "Are you a Muslim?" He stabs 9 people. Shouting Allah, doesn't want to stab a fellow Muslim, and the politically correct government officials and the alleged journalists are saying that they don't know what his motivation was. How's that? They don't know what his motivation was. Remember we covered this regarding the Munich Islamic terrorist Ali Sombali? Remember that? Whom Germany and the New York Times and the BBC and all, they said he had no connections to Islamic terror. If you want to see that, I was reading the New York Times and just started to write all over the page with my pen. I'm sitting in a coffee shop, and I was so frustrated. So I took a photo of the page, and I put it on our website, kgov.com/terror. And the New York Times headline is, "Officials say no terrorist link is found for Munich gunman." And so here's what we reported on the air and in print at kgov.com/terror, 5 things to know about Munich's Ali Sombali. Number 1, he shouted Allahu Akbar as he began murdering children. Number 2, he shouted Allahu Akbar as he began murdering children. Number 3, he shouted Allahu Akbar as he began murdering children. Number 4, he shouted Allahu Akbar as he began murdering children. And finally, number 5 of the top 5 things to know about Munich's Ali Sombali is that he shouted Allahu Akbar as he began murdering children. So the alleged journalist at the New York Times, in their lengthy report, in fact, if you go to our page, kgov.com/terror, that's our main landing page for topics about terror. And a bit of the page is about Islam also. And we have on there the best definition of terror. What is terrorism? We present the best definition. And so also is this section on the Munich Islamic terrorist. And characteristically, the alleged journalist at the New York Times, in their lengthy report, they claim, quote, "no terrorist link," unquote, in Sunbali's murder of 9 innocent people. They didn't even mention the eyewitness report that CNN, right after this horrific attack, CNN is reporting that a Muslim woman witness whose child was in the restroom with the terrorist before he emerged from the restroom at this fast food restaurant. She said he was shouting Allahu Akbar as he opened fire on the children. And she said, "I know what he said because I'm a Muslim." In other words, she said, "I could understand it as clear as day. I know exactly what he said." And so, not surprisingly, the lethally politically correct Munich police chief admitted that his investigators had not even spoken to all the witnesses there. But regardless of that, he said this. He said, even if he would have said Allahu Akbar, it would not automatically indicate anything. What an idiot, huh? You know, in our laws, a dying declaration, we have laws against hearsay in court, and there's a dying declaration exemption because of the significance of the words spoken when someone is dying. There's a thought that there is a real potential that they're telling you what they actually believe, what actually is significant to them. And so a dying declaration has its parallel in the statements made when someone is killing his victims. And you tend to think that he's not daydreaming and talking about something that's not important to him. But if he's shouting Allah at a mall in Minnesota while he's stabbing 9 people, yet you have just an inkling of a thought that it has something to do with Islam. And when he doesn't want to stab a fellow Muslim, when he stops to ask, are you a Muslim? That sort of adds to your inkling so that you just get this wild hunch, this crazy hunch. Political correctness kills people. It kills people. And it deceives those who want to be deceived. Those who want to believe that Islam is a religion of peace, right? At the very top of our website at kgov.com/terror, we have a link to the number of Islamic terrorist attacks since 9/11. Now, if you go back before 9/11, it'd be pretty difficult. Since 9/11, 29,258. We reported on this just a few weeks ago when it had just hit 29,000. In each one of these terrorist attacks, it's not just a number. It's a massive database of each of the attacks, what city, how many were killed, how many wounded. And this does not count the terrorist attacks like in New York City, the bombings in New York and New Jersey. It doesn't count the terrorist attacks where people were only maimed, or in Minnesota at this mall where people were only injured, had to go to the hospital. It doesn't count. So these won't even be counted in the 29,258 lethal terror attacks, deadly Islamic terrorist attacks committed by adherents to the religion of peace since 9/11. The media says Islam is a peaceful religion. Well, as we point out and link to the reports, you could get the data yourself from the U.S. State Department, which, by the way, is hyper-politically correct, meaning that they will bend over backwards to say, oh, that's not terrorism, like when Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State, the head of the State Department, and the Benghazi terrorist attack occurred, and she said, that's not terrorism, that's just a spontaneous protest about an anti-Muslim video on YouTube. But the U.S. State Department reports that 6 countries, 6 Islamic countries, have on their books laws that call for the death penalty for a Muslim who converts to Christianity or some other religion. And what are these Muslim countries? Are they countries that we've maybe never heard of, like Mauritania? Are they countries like Qatar? Some people say Qatar. I don't think it's worth it. Or the Sudan? Or Afghanistan? Or Iran? Or Saudi Arabia? Yes, it's all those countries. They have on their books laws. Now, they don't always implement it, but this is their Muslim religion, and it's on the books. And they have, according to our State Department, Saudi Arabia has on their books laws calling for the death penalty for a Muslim who converts away from Islam. And so does Iran, whom Obama has given almost $2 billion to, and Afghanistan, and the Sudan, and Qatar, and Mauritania. Six countries, six Islamic countries. Oh, the media says Islam is a tolerant religion? Just ask where. It's a peaceful religion? Where? It's a tolerant religion? Where? I mean, Saudi Arabia, that's the Mecca of Islam. You know when somebody says that's the Mecca of something? We use that as a figure of speech. That's because it really is the Mecca of Islam. Because in Saudi Arabia is the city of Mecca. And that's where every Muslim is supposed to go to at least once in his life, as one of the five pillars of Islam, make the Hajj and go to Mecca. And so we've asked the question, if Islam is a religion of tolerance, then how many synagogues are in Mecca? That's a 500 square mile city of a million people. So how many synagogues? The answer, none. Yeah, but that's just one city. How about the whole country of Saudi Arabia? The entire country? How many churches are in the entire country of Saudi Arabia? None. Islam is the religion of intolerance. Islam is not a peaceful religion. And it's the adherents to the religion of peace that are simply misunderstood that have now conducted over 29,000 deadly Muslim terrorist attacks since 9/11, and that includes this Muslim terrorist freak in Minnesota. Political correctness kills. So what links someone to terror? When governments and the media wrongly claim that a particular Muslim criminal or mass murderer even has no link to Islamic terror, the link is the justification. The link is the justification. So when a Muslim hears these fatwas being issued by imams over in the Middle East, and they're giving permission to Muslims all over the world to kill Christians and Jews, and they hear that, and they might not be a card-carrying member of ISIS. Of course not. That's totally irrelevant. The link to terror is the justification. So you might have some Muslim that doesn't even care about going to the mosque, and he doesn't even care about reading the Quran. But he hears that it's okay for Muslims to kill Christians and Jews. And so he goes to the mall. Maybe he's on his way to buy an iPhone 7. Doesn't matter. Maybe he gets upset because there's a long line. Doesn't matter. Maybe he's upset because his credit card doesn't work. Doesn't matter. And then he starts stabbing people, shouting Allah, and avoiding harming a fellow Muslim. So that's his link to terror, unless you are an idiot. If you are an idiot, then you say, we may never know what motivated him. The link is the justification. The link is the justification. So when a criminal is shouting Allahu Akbar, when he's making sure he's not harming Muslims, only non-Muslims, then he is linked to terror. It is ideological. It's not some kind of a fiber optic cable that connects them all, passing through their brains. You say, where's the link? They don't have to be physically linked. It's ideological. So this Dahir Adan is the Muslim's name in Minnesota, where he stabbed nine people. One couple, it was a man and his pregnant girlfriend. What a tragedy. She wasn't his pregnant wife. But at any rate, they were attacked by this Muslim terrorist. And what a horrific story they told, how, you know, they were in shock, and the man began yelling at this 22-year-old Muslim, "She's pregnant. Don't do this. She's pregnant." And this guy was stabbed, and still he was shouting out, chasing after the terrorist, and what a hero he was. And thankfully, everyone survived. And then the Muslim himself was shot to death by who the media is calling an off-duty police officer. I'm not sure that that's true. I have heard that this guy had a concealed carry permit, that the mall was a gun-safe zone, no guns allowed, and he disobeyed that. And perhaps he was a firefighter and carrying concealed. And thank you to him for putting an end to yet another Muslim terrorist attack before it became a deadly terrorist attack. So if a Muslim is shouting Allahu Akbar and avoiding other Muslims as he's trying to kill people, then chalk it up to a terrorist attack. And if you are Googling news on some Muslim attack, make sure you include the word terror so that you'll tend to go to the news outlets that are at least acknowledging terror and using the word terror. Reuters often won't use the word terror. They won't even refer to a committed terrorist as a terrorist. Okay. They don't know what it means to be a terrorist. Again, at kgov.com, we have the best definition of terrorism. Okay, so now we still have the first mercy killing of a minor in Belgium, which, of course, is a horrific development, and not unlike here in Colorado, only we beat the Belgians by a long shot, and the Netherlands, we beat them too. Because those two countries have decriminalized euthanizing children. In the Netherlands, it's now down to, what is it, down to 12 years of age. You could kill a child 12 years old and up. You could euthanize them. Here in Colorado, we have our suicide initiative 145, where doctors will help patients commit suicide. And we've already euthanized Denver Children's Hospital. Their ethics committee, their so-called ethics committee, gave the parents of Dylan Walborn permission, their consent, to euthanize him. And he was killed. And the Denver Post wrote up the whole story. It's still on the internet. It's called Letting Go, Dylan's Last Days. Four-year-old Dylan. Was that how old he was when they killed him? That's how old he was in this photo here. They killed him by starving him to death over a period of, what was it, 21 days? And you could read all about it at the Denver Post website or at our website, DylanWalborn.com. DylanWalborn.com. And so I do want to talk about that, about George H.W. Bush voting for Hillary Clinton, and no surprise there. But first this, I want to let you know, at Real Science Radio, we've been doing science shows, technology, medical, progress-focused programs for many years now, and lately we've been doing shows on the cancer treatment that's taking the world by storm called targeted antibodies. And if you're interested in that, I mean, it's so important. If you or a loved one gets a diagnosis of cancer, please, you got to do all the research you can on targeted antibodies. You could begin at our website, kgov.com/antibodies. It's an immunological treatment for cancer that is having stunning success. And then you need to ask your oncologist, how familiar is he with the latest antibody treatments? And if he's hesitant, you should consider looking for a new oncologist. But at any rate, we had a scientist contact us and share with us the breakthrough he has had in the treatment of a horrific disease, a neurological disease. And the results are so stunning that we will be interviewing him, and we will air this program in, what, 2 weeks from Friday? So early October on Real Science Radio. And this is a stunner. I'm just dying to let you know more about it. But we're going to wait for the interview. But this is a scientist known throughout the world. He is one of the most accomplished scientists in the area of medical treatment, helping millions of people. And this may rank up there with his greatest achievements yet. So for some reason, even some of the most important medical news is available first at Real Science Radio and Bob and Yurt Live on our website, kgov.com, for some bizarre reason, which is hard to comprehend. But kgov.com/antibodies, and you'll learn about the extraordinary cancer treatments, just extraordinary. And I think you'll love it. And then 2 weeks from Friday. Wow, it's going to be big. Okay, real quick, George H.W. Bush to vote for Hillary Clinton. No surprise there. The party manipulators, power brokers, have always used the nuclear weapon against principled Christian party members, delegates, activists. And they say, will you support the eventual nominee? They've been using that for decades. So that if there's a Christian, and the Christian is involved in the Republican Party because they know that child killing is murder, intentional child killing, whether the child is in the womb or out of the womb, or whether he's 4 years old like little Dylan Walborn. If you intentionally kill an innocent child, that's murder. And so you are in Republican Party politics because you want to stop the murder of innocent children. But then, and you're in the primaries because you want to make sure there's a principled candidate for your fellow party members to support come the election. And you're asked, you want to be a delegate to the state convention, and you are asked, will you support the eventual nominee? And that's it right there. That's the question of, will you betray Jesus Christ? That's the question. Will you support the eventual nominee is the same question as, will you betray the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you be a Judas Iscariot? That's the question. Will you support the eventual nominee? Well, what if the eventual nominee advocates killing innocent children? What if he advocates dismembering innocent children? Then for you to be a good Republican, you have to say, I give my allegiance to the Republican Party. I will support whoever the eventual nominee is. That pledge is damnable. That pledge is damnable, that I will support whoever the eventual nominee is. And I have known all along, it has been obvious, that those who demand that pledge from the Christians would themselves never take it. They would never take it. It would be a lie. They will only support the nominee if they feel like supporting the nominee, if it thinks it helps them in their position and power and influence in society, the culture, or the Republican Party. And if they think it's going to hurt their position, like Donald Trump is an outsider, and so those who have manipulated Christian pro-lifers for decades, they say they're not going to support the nominee. Even if they took a pledge to support him, they're not going to support him. And the pledge itself is evil, but that's not why they took a stand. It's because they think that this is not going to help their standing in the party or in the country. That kind of allegiance, will you support whoever ends up being the leader? That kind of allegiance only belongs to God. I wouldn't give that kind of allegiance to my own father. who I've always loved deeply, or to any of my children. If one of my children ended up being nominated for president, huh, that'd be funny, huh? Republican candidate for president, so-and-so Enyart, radical right-wing talk show host, Bob Enyart's son, I wouldn't pledge allegiance to my own son. Our allegiance goes to God and to anyone who upholds the fundamental principles of morality that God has revealed and that he's written on our hearts and our conscience. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Only to God. So George H.W. Bush voting for Hillary. Jeb Bush might vote for Hillary. George W. Bush could vote for Hillary. The Bushes are Democrats at heart. They always have been. They just became Republicans as a quirk of their opportunities. When W. won, it was funny to hear conservatives saying, at the time we were on the air, that he was going to get Bill Clinton indicted for his crimes. That was so funny to hear that. We talked about this on the air at the time. They would become close friends before he'd do anything against Bill Clinton. Of course. This is a joke. You are being used. And so will you support the eventual nominee is the same thing as saying, will you betray the Lord Jesus Christ? And millions of Christians have been taught by Dr. James Dobson, National Right to Life, countless so-called pro-life Catholic bishops, to answer the question in the affirmative. Will you support the eventual nominee? Hey, he's the best we can get. He only wants to kill a few thousand children, only wants to lynch a few thousand blacks, only wants to gas a few thousand Jews. You know, we really got to support him if we want to save the country. Our website, kgov.com.
Hello, I'm Josh Craddock, and at 14 years old, I'm a little partial to Bob Enyart's manuscript, The Plot, since I helped with The Plot Boys, a series of audio Bible studies for junior high and high school students like me who want to dig deeper and better understand the Bible. The Plot is an overview of the entire Bible, because once you understand the overview of the Bible, then you have the key to understanding its details. And that's what makes the entire Bible fun to read. So please order your copy of The Plot today. Call 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to kgov.com. That's kgov.com. And remember, your support, both prayerfully and financially, keeps Bob Enyart live on the air. Thank you.
Hi, this is Bob Enyart. If you'd like to hear more, then you could subscribe to our Bob Enyart Live Bible Studies, our monthly videos, our sermons. For the Bible Studies, you get an entire MP3 CD for $34.95 a month. Or you could get our videos or sermons every month mailed to you for just $24.95 a month. To subscribe, please call 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. That's 800-836-9278. Or you could subscribe online at kgov.com. So check us out on the web at kgov.com for Bob Enyart Live.